I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk some draft, maybe a little bit about the Orioles farm system as well with Keith Law, of course, covers baseball for ESPN and joins us now. And Keith, thanks for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. So let me ask you, if you had the number one pick in the draft, everything we hear is the Orioles haven't decided yet, but there's Bobby Witt Jr., Adley Rutschman, and we hear Andrew Vaughn. If you had the first pick, who would you take and why?
And just to comment on that, the Orioles either haven't decided or they simply haven't told anybody.
Sure.
I think it's actually more likely. I think they probably already know who they're taking, but they'll wait until Monday and then they'll try to negotiate maybe with two different options, Rutschman or Vaughn. I don't think there's any chance they'd take Witt. And by the way, I would not take Witt with the first pick either. I would take Rutschman or Vaughn. I would let the money sort of make that final decision. I think the two players, they're clearly the two best players in the class. I have Rutschman ranked ahead of Vaughn, but I don't think there's a huge gap between them. If I could sign Vaughn for $1 million less and then reapply that money to the subsequent picks at 42, 71, 77 to get better players there, I would do that rather than maybe paying Rutschman the $1 million more and not getting better talent with later picks. I think either of those courses of action is perfectly rational, and that Orioles fans, I hear from a lot of Orioles fans, oh my God, they're not going to take Rutschman, they're going to screw this up. That's just not accurate. Andrew Vaughn won the Golden Spikes last year. He's a really good player. And if they take him and then sort of do that Mike Elias thing that he would do in Houston, getting better players with later picks, that's still a great outcome.
Why are you no on Bobby Witt Jr.? I'm just curious.
One, I don't think he's anywhere near the caliber of player that the other two are. I have real questions about his hit tool. He is a 19-year-old. He's going to turn 19 in about a week. 19-year-old high school senior, he can definitely play shortstop, he can run, he can throw. There's some power there. That's not a great swing. There's some backside collapse there. I think he is trying too hard to hit the ball out of the park as opposed to simply concentrating on hitting, and I think some of those are mechanical things that will require a fair bit of work to address. He's played some really bad competition in high school. I went to see him this spring, and I think that may be skewing people's impressions of what kind of hitter he is. He's a very good player. He's still third on my board, but I don't think he's in the same class as Vaughn and Rutschman are.
Now, Keith, we had somebody from Baseball America on last week, and they said that, you know, the paying less for the first guy and then paying the other draft picks more wouldn't be as successful this year because, like, Arizona has four picks between 1 and 42, and I think Tampa does too. So a lot of those guys that you want to pay more for will be gone.
That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me because it's just not really how the draft works, right? You know who you're taking at 42. You don't do this. So I'll go back to the Astros did this a couple of times. The most notable time, and Mike Elias was obviously the Astros scouting director at the time, they took the second best player on my board, at least, with the first pick in 2012. That was Carlos Correa. Byron Buxton was the, I think, consensus number one. He went second. But the Astros saved so much money, they turned around and got Lance McCullers Jr., who's turned out to be a decent big leaguer, and Rio Ruiz, who turned out to be enough of a prospect that they used him in a trade, with the savings from those two higher picks. They knew they were getting McCullers all along. It's not like there was some huge risk that he was going to get taken by another team. So the Astros do this. If they take Vaughn and say we're going to save money, it's not because they're sitting there hoping, oh, some other player is going to get to us at 42. It's because they've already got something negotiated with a player and have a reasonably high degree of confidence that that other player, whoever it might be, is going to last until pick 42. Because most of these picks are, these teams know before the draft starts, or at least have a pretty good idea for the first two rounds, who they're going to take and who's not going to be available at each of their picks.
Keith, explain that a little bit for people who don't know, because the baseball draft is a lot different than, say, the football and basketball draft.
Yes, very.
Yeah, I don't know it, so I'm interested to hear it, Keith.
So, look, what I'm describing is not technically allowed, but everybody does it. everyone's negotiating. They'll be talking to teams are talking to agents for players about what's it going to take to sign your guy. Is your guy going to get to our pick? They're asking me some of the same stuff too. They're asking, all right, who's available? Who do you think is available? Who do I think is available at their pick? I'm sure they're asking Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo, the same guys with MLB Network. They're asking them the same stuff. So by the time they get to draft day, they've already negotiated some deals. When the draft starts, they're going to say the Orioles are on the clock, and we're all going to laugh because the Orioles will already have known who they're taking, and they'll have a deal worked out with that player. There are rare exceptions. Last year, two teams in the first round, we now know, took players who were both advised by Scott Boras, essentially without any working anything out ahead of time, and neither player ended up signing. One case, he just wanted more money. The other case, the player just really wanted to go to college. But in 90% of cases, you already had something worked out. And if you're going to execute this strategy that I'm talking about, that I think Baltimore will try to, it's because you worked out a dollar figure with Andrew Vaughn at that first pick and then have already lined up probably more than one, but at least one deal with a player who you believe is going to be available at pick 42, some high upside high school player, where you're going to pay him $2.5 to $3 million, which is more than the assigned bonus value for pick 42, is more commensurate with a first round pick, and that player and his advisor then tell other teams, don't take us, we're not signing for less than this dollar figure because Baltimore's offered it to us with a later pick.
So Keith, when are they allowed to hire an agent? Because like Rutschman's playing tonight.
Yes. They all have advisors, right? And as long as they don't actually pay the advisors anything now, or take improper gifts or sign some contract, it's all basically allowed. The NCAA has also relaxed its rules that now high school players can actively work with agents. They're just not supposed to work with them while they're attending an NCAA school. I think everyone's just sort of acknowledged this is happening, so we're just not going to worry too much about it. But every one of these players has an agent or an advisor. It's particularly funny in Bobby Witt Jr.'s case because his father is an agent. So what was the NCAA going to say? You can't talk to your dad all spring?
Well, it's just like, hockey is the same thing, Keith. I don't know if you know that, but it is. Yeah, because like my son's 14, and you wouldn't believe all the agents that are at all our games and stuff.
Ugh, yes. I mean, there's a distaste. I mean, a lot of these agents are my work acquaintances, my sources, and some are even my friends. There's a distasteful side to the business, and they will voice their own frustration at how early they have to get in on these kids. Francisco Lindor has had his agent, who's a local guy in Florida, since he was 14 years old. Is that kind of weird? Maybe a little gross? Yeah, but it's also almost what you have to do if you are a smaller agent and you want to get an elite player like a Lindor.
Talking to Keith Law, covers baseball for ESPN.com. Keith, curious, like we hear all these things. Baseball America came out and said Rutschman is the best prospect since Bryce Harper. Harold Reynolds was on the station yesterday, said he talked to a longtime scout that said he's as good, his best catcher he's seen since Johnny Bench. How do you weigh that in when you can get Andrew Vaughn for less money, but how do we turn this other kid down if he's that good?
But he's not that good, right? That's hyperbole. I mean, that's people who are, unfortunately, I think saying things that are not true. Whether they believe they're true or not, I can't speak to that. But those statements are ridiculous. Adley Rutschman isn't the best catching prospect since Johnny Bench, if only because we've had Buster Posey in the interim, who's probably going to the Hall of Fame, certainly had a Hall of Fame career to date, and we knew he was that kind of prospect in his draft year. So this stuff is just kind of ridiculous, and I find it particularly unhelpful in my case, because most fans... One disadvantage that the baseball draft has against the NFL and NBA drafts is fans don't know these players.
Yep.
You never see the high school players. You don't really see much of the college players either. I'm not blaming the fans either, but the fans are thirsty for information. They want to know more about these players. They don't have easy avenues to get it. And when you have absurd statements like the ones you just repeated running around, I don't think it's helpful. Adley Rutschman is a really good prospect. He's a no-doubt catcher with a good arm and power. He's going to play in the big leagues for a very long time. Is he a future Hall of Famer? I wouldn't say that. Is he a moral lock to be an everyday player or better? I wouldn't say that either. I think he's going to strike out quite a bit. I have some questions about his right-handed swing, and he's had some minor injury issues, which, by the way, catchers just get hurt a lot. So I don't find statements like that particularly helpful, unless you really are dealing with a Bryce Harper or Steven Strasburg, who were historically great prospects. I think it's better to try to be much more measured in my own evaluations.
All right, Keith, since we don't know as much about Vaughn, because what you hear about Vaughn is, you know, he's a first baseman or DH, and in the Orioles organization, they have a lot of that. Does that make any sense?
I have two answers to that. One is, in the baseball draft, you just take the best player available. You don't consider needs. You don't consider what's already in your organization, because you'll miss on players. And because these players are years out, right? Whatever player they take now, even Rutschman and Vaughn, who are two of the closest to the big leagues, they're not coming right to the big leagues this year. They'll take about a year to a year and a half in the minors, then you'll see them in the majors. The high school players will take 3 to 5 years to get to the big leagues. So you just take the best player available, and if you end up with a surplus, you'll work it out. In Vaughn's case, first of all, I don't think he's a DH. I think he's definitely a first baseman. I don't think he's anything else, but he is a first baseman. He's the best bat in the college draft. He's the best bat in this entire draft. Just for pure hit tool, plate discipline, power, I think it's very real. He's got 2 years of tremendous performance now at Cal. He's an extremely disciplined, smart hitter, but is also good enough that he's looking for pitches he can ambush, too. He works the count to try to get something he can drive. I think his swing really works. It reminds me of Paul Goldschmidt. It reminds me of Reese Hoskins. You know, guys, similar right-handed hitters who weren't necessarily seen as elite athletes, but as it turns out, have had swings that have worked to allow them to make a lot of contact and still hit for above average to plus power. I think if you're taking Vaughn, that's the player you hope that he's going to become.
Now, Keith, do either one of these guys, Rutschman or Vaughn, have an advisor, agent per se, that happens to be Scott Boras or somebody difficult?
I couldn't tell you, shouldn't tell you who specific advisors are, I guess, other than Bobby Witt Jr., because it's kind of obvious.
Yes.
It would be a little awkward around the dinner table if they said, sorry, Dad, I'm going with Scott Boras instead. In those cases, do I think neither of these guys is looking for a $10 million bonus? I'll answer it that way. Neither of these guys is looking for a dollar figure that would simply scare the Orioles off entirely. I think either of these guys, if taken at one overall, they're going to sign. They're both going to sign, and they're going to get out right away and probably spend the summer playing somewhere. I'd love to see either or both of them at Aberdeen. I saw them this spring, but if one of them is in Aberdeen this summer, you could bet I'm going to make the 50-minute drive down there to watch them as much as I can.
Well, let me know, because I'll meet you there. Yeah, I'm 15
absolutely.
Minutes from there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ballparks in all the minors. And if there's a better player there, that's just icing on top of the cake.
Hey, Keith, what is the first pick of the draft? What is the max that he can get? And then what do you think that they want to give him?
I think slot at the first pick last year was a little – a shade over $8 million. I don't have the number in front of me.
Uh-huh.
You could go over if the Orioles – look, if Bryce Harper were in this draft and Harper had Scott Boras and Scott said he's not signing for a penny under $10 million, you could essentially go under slot at pick 42 and 71 and then take the savings there and apply it to the first overall pick. You could do that. There's no rule against doing that. You could give all of your pool money to the first pick and sign college seniors for every pick afterwards for $1,000. Would be really dumb. I mean, that's the Ricky Williams strategy. I know enough about the NFL draft to know that that didn't work out.
Right.
So you could do that. My guess is whichever of these guys they sign, they get whatever that slot, assigned slot figure is for pick one minus – somewhere between $200,000 and $500,000, and then that money is applied to pick 42 or pick 71. And there's actually some pretty good high school right-handed pitching in this draft that's not going to go in the first round because the industry as a whole just doesn't love high school pitchers. There's a few I particularly like. I'm sure the Orioles have three or four picked out they particularly like. One of those guys will get there to pick 42. And if they choose that strategy, they'll be able to give that guy $2.5 to $3 million and walk out feeling better about the draft class as a whole, as opposed to feeling like maybe they put too many eggs in the one basket of one player.
talking to ESPN's Keith Law. Keith, before we let you go, I want to ask you about the Orioles farm system. Obviously, it wasn't deep, but I know you pay attention to 30 teams. Are you aware of what's going on at the lower levels of this system? And guys like Grayson Rodriguez and Drew Rahm, Ofelky Peralta, they just promoted Blaine Knight up to Frederick. Is it legitimate what these guys are doing, or is it just low-level stuff?
I saw Frederick. I have not seen Delmarva this spring. I saw Frederick four games. They came through Wilmington, actually. D.L. Hall looked great until he got thrown out of the game for arguing balls and strikes. Not a great strategy, but he was right. The ump was terrible. Dean Kramer was rehabbing. He didn't belong at the level, but he looked very good. It was nice to see Cody Sedlock back and healthy again. I feel like he's probably a reliever, but given how much trouble he's had just staying on the field, I think that's a pretty good outcome. I haven't seen Rodriguez. I'm not shocked that he's dominating at that lower level. It's just the tremendous stuff he had, even as a high school player, indicated someone who'd probably miss a lot of bats. He'll get challenged. I'd like to see him in Frederick by the end of this year because the stuff is too good for the level. And that's good, right? Plenty of high school pitchers come out and they can't succeed in low A right away. He's passed the first test. I'd love to see them challenge him before whenever they shut him down on innings. Let him face some better hitters. And let's see how good the strike throwing is at the higher level.
Keith Law, appreciate your time as always. Great stuff, really.
Thanks, Keith.
Yep,
that was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yes, you're welcome.
Appreciate the time, Keith Law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.